Riley likes Friends at the Table and wants to make sure that is known on this podcast. Austin Walker, if you're listening, please play my games.
Andrew Sherman is going to edit that out. What's up, Riley?
Do you want to make a podcast?
You know, I would, but I just don't know what it would be about.
I have an idea here that came to me recently.
Okay.
And I think this is more of a situation in which you would start a podcast than starting a podcast. I know we already have that, a situation to start a podcast.
No, I think they're giving us better. It's like acting where you're like, what's my motivation? Yeah. I like this.
I've been getting back into farming games, right? And in those, your grandpa always dies. You go out to the farm, you take over his farm. Like you revitalize the local economy, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Your grandpa was a content creator and he passes away, but he was in charge of a network.
Okay. I started playing a game called Potionomics recently.
Yes.
That is the same kind of like your uncle owned a potion shop. And he died. Now you got to take over his business because he left it to you in his will.
Mm-hmm.
This is we got left a podcast or a network in someone's will.
I guess that's the question, isn't it? There's part of me that says like, oh, it's a network because that gives you more to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, and it fills out our cast of characters for the inevitable dating sim.
Exactly. That's the thing, right? The datables have to be. And listen, viewer, you probably shouldn't start a relationship when you just take over a podcast network.
Look, why would we make a podcast network if it wasn't to date people? You know, that's what podcasters are known for.
Is
dating? Yeah,
I don't. Uh-oh.
So at a game, we are definitely making a video game here, not a podcast.
No. But see, here's the setup is like this. It's not a video game. We are doing a audio drama. And the reason that we're catching the in-universe reason we're hearing so much is through the lens of podcasting. Do you follow?
Maybe this is one of those networks where it was like, your grandfather, uncle, whatever. It wasn't really a network as much as it was they had 30 shows.
Oh.
And so they were just like, what if I bundle them all together and call it a network?
What if it's the Devon network, your uncle Devon?
Yeah. Not that we would have experience with a network like that. But what if there was a network like that and then our uncle passes away and now we have inherited co-hostship of 4 or 5 different podcasts? On various topics. And now we have to create those podcasts and fill those shoes.
Okay. See, yes. And this is still working under the audio drama setup, right?
You know, I think that we're breaking out a little bit, but I think that this way I think that we're playing in the rules. I think we're clear. You're in the clear.
Okay. And so
you have permission to this is mission control calling in. You've got permission. Land the shot.
Thank you. So our main character, you know, turns on, like, first thing we hear from them is like the, you know, we do the, is this thing on? And like turning on old dusty recording things. There's like a little bit of feedback. They turn it down and you get a good.
Yes. Boy, it sure is dusty in here. The old podcast studio.
I guess I'm just recording to see if it's working. Oh, wow. Oh, there's a file on here already. There's only one file left on the entire computer. Let's click play on that file. Click, click. It's me, your grandfather.
Hello. If you're listening to this podcast feed, bad news. I've died. Luckily, my grave has been sponsored by Squarespace, a nice spot in the ground.
Now, if you don't get these podcasts back up and running, Squarespace is going to dig up my body and not let me have that grave anymore.
I signed a deal that I would deliver weekly episodes for 7 podcasts this year. If I don't do it, they will exhume me?
Exhume, hold on. I believe.
Editor's note, I'm going to get back and edit this in. What's the word for, like, it's like entomb, but backwards. I'll edit this out. Don't worry.
Entomb.
Clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack.
Entomb.
No, not entomb. Hold on. Oh, it's a magic car. Anyways, long story short, I need you to make podcasts for me. Luckily, I'm sure our editor hasn't left. He'll take care of editing out problems like the one that I just made.
And then the first thing you do is you walk out of there. It's like, it's me, the mayor. I was your grandfather's editor, and I'm never going to do that again. I'll edit the first week, but after that, you're on your own.
You're on your own, kid. Now, luckily, I do think this is one of our romanceable... Real question is, the age gap between us and our grandfather leaves a lot to be desired in the dateable category.
And listen...
it means that either we had a grandfather who was like, yes, I'm very hip. I'm podcasting with a bunch of hot 20-somethings. Or all of our dateable options are, as you said, mayoral age.
Both of these options have a flavor to them. We could pursue the MILF chasing podcaster dynamic, which do exist. They are out there. They're all over the place. The MILF, DILF, and GILF, they're there.
Looking over my shoulder at the fact that a new season of MILF Manor comes out on April 29th. Yeah, no, there's definitely podcasts about MILFs.
That's so soon. And now you've told people that that show exists, and they will be like, oh, you're going to be updating.
We are.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's the fastest I've ever learned I was doing a podcast to completion. I gotta get a microphone to my mom again. Yeah, so we've got our
I like the idea that Grandpa was podcasting with a bunch of 20-somethings. Either that,
he kept
or all
him young
of his,
at heart, yeah.
Either that, or all of his like fellow podcasters have grandchildren that are your age.
In order to stay, I wanted to keep you in my life, so I decided to hang out amongst the 20-somethings, the people your age online. I'm very.
They
hip.
Said I have Riz.
They taught me how to Dougie. Anyways, you're now their co-host.
Good
luck. So we gotta get, like, you know, oh, hot goth chick. We've got our true crimey adjacent one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should do a sports show. Yep, with, like,
absolutely, like a jock. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A fashionable hipster. We have
there's,
like,
gonna be a comedy podcast with the least fuckable man on existence that Tumblr's gonna go apeshit for.
They're going to be like, I love this guy.
He's going to have a name like Magnus.
Yeah. Yeah. This is perfect. This is perfect. And so I guess, Andrew, the question from here is, you know, usually you'd go out, you'd buy seeds, you'd go fishing, you'd fight in the mines. There's a lot of different options for farming. Podcasting has a lot fewer options for engaging with the world around you.
I think that instead of that, I think that we're going to have our main job here is so potionomics. You own a potion shop. So the thing that you do, instead of, like, going out into the world, the thing that you do is, like, manage a storefront and then, like, invest in the Adventurers Guild, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
here, mm-hmm. I think that as the manager of the network, we have to be settling disputes and gaining clout.
Okay.
We're in charge of that. We're not just the talent. We have to be in charge of, like, getting the word out.
Gotcha. So, like, the getting clout is, like, every day you go up onto your computer and you play a little posting mini game.
Exactly.
And you have to have a good post. I'm imagining, like, a Mad Lib situation. And, like where it presents you with a prompt and you fill the thing in, click tweet, and then just it's like respect gained.
Well, not res- hold on, hold on. Not respect. Not respect. Clout. There is a very distinct difference.
There is a blue. There's blue sky between those two things. This is great. I love these games. I love this idea. This audio drama podcast that we've crafted here. The thing that stresses me out about it is like the thing that stresses me out about not stresses me out. A thing I always find weird about these games is when they refer to it as datables. Like they refer to like datable NPCs as datables, and that's like the parlance that they go through. It feels so odd. It's like we know what you're here for. Wink, wink. This game has 32 datables.
That's too many datables. I've had 32 datables in my life.
That's
I didn't realize half of them till after the fact.
I guess you're right. Fuck, I was about to say, that's a lot more than me. Jesus. and then I thought, you made it so clear. Can you imagine? Just picture this, if you will. The list is in front of you. You're 80. You are presented with a list. It's like, here's all the datables that were in your life.
That
nightmare. No,
if you just opened up the wiki, you could have found out that like you had a chance there.
What? The wiki?
It's one of those things that is like the true cursed knowledge that like the things you can never unknow about your life, you're just like, oh. You know, I always kind of like had a thought there, but I never enough that I would have pursued it. And learning this does not help me.
It doesn't help me. It doesn't change anything about the way I'm living my life or frankly want to have lived my life.
It's one of those things that like the scoreboard, like you die, you go to hell. There's a scoreboard that says like data you don't want to know.
And it just flashes it up, everyone, different things.
Yeah, it's stuff you can never unknow. Stuff that, like, knowing it does not improve, you know, at the time. Stuff that truly, if you knew this at the time, you might have done things differently, mm-hmm. but it's too late. And it's like, great, I don't need to see that on a scoreboard. I think that that's in hell. We've just got a big board of, like, missed opportunities.
It's like a moment you could have made $10,000. Every person in your life that you could have had a better relationship with.
There's just like a...
would have fixed college for you.
Job listings you scrolled past on LinkedIn that you could have gotten.
Oh, Jesus!
Like, there's a lot of intangibles at play here, but I figure it's hell. They know
the devil's
doing.
Got that. No, he gives those tasks to an archfiend of Indeed.
Uh-huh. Well, that's like, yeah, that's just in the real world. Riley, I think that this is a great setup to a wonderful podcast.
It's been so long since you've told me that, Andrew. I forgot what those words of Riley, you did a good thing here today.
Riley, you're getting a good grade in podcast today.
But all good things have to come to an end, and so please, what's next on our docket here, Andrew? What do you have for me, Andrew? Actually,
yeah,
I have a suggestion here from Cello Buster.
Okay,
a podcast where the subject matter gets progressively heavier week by week for weightlifters. So we start, obviously, we start basic. I mean. A, there are points during like swells of COVID that you could hear that happening with this show.
Yeah.
But the problem is we don't release the heaviest weights.
I do like, sorry, did you have a place you're going or I had an idea?
Take me.
This is a book club podcast, but each week we read a book that is slightly heavier.
Oh, like in page count.
I in page count, we say, hey, hardcovers only. Nobody's allowed to use a Kindle or you know, paperbacks. Every week, we're going to get a book that's slightly bigger to help our... Look, I know our audience. We could probably all use a little bit more upper body strength.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're doing a book club. We're engaging the mind and the pecs, the traps. Are these arm muscles?
You're naming muscles that you're further than me, baby.
The biceps.
But we're reading them, so that's closing and opening the book.
Well, you got to hold the book up to read it, right?
I mean, skill issue a little bit, but yeah.
It is going to be a little funky because we're going to start with like,
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, here's a collected edition of Plato's Five Dialogues. Pretty small in stature. You got a lot to talk about. And then by the end of it, we're just like, all right, here's another Wheel of Time novel, but they're out of order.
So I guess my question here, like, I like this idea. I'm always drawn to like doing things in reverse. So starting with the heavy and moving to the light, because like then you have a designated endpoint. We're going to get a one page book and then we're going to read a brochure and we're done. You know what I mean?
That's not how you lift weights, though.
That's not. But
that's why you don't work out. You got to build as you go. And then the end point is when your arms snap from picking up the book.
They go, ah. I suppose you're right. There's a coworker that I work with that is a homie, is great, and frankly, I'm kind of bought into what he's doing here. He's been every hour on the hour just getting up and doing like 10 lunges, like every hour for the past week and a half. And at first, I was like, "That's very funny that you're doing that," and now I'm like, "Wow, you're like working out every day. You found the way to get it in there." And like other people in the department are starting to do it with him and get up and do different things. They're like, shit, should I do that? But maybe I need to do is a book podcast with you.
I'm proud of this guy.
Yeah, it's great. It's fucking great. Like, it's like genuinely, I'm very impressed because he switches it up every day. And I'm just like, that makes me think I should be doing it. I should be getting up and actually working out. Because the first day, people walk by and go, what are you doing? And the second day, they go, oh, Jeff's working out. Like, boom, solved.
Yeah, it's really one of those things where, like, on paper, a workout is the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, on paper.
You just set a thing and you go, yeah, every hour, do 10 lunges. Oh, easy peasy. That's way better than the nothing I do now. Mm-hmm. And then the moment you get to like have to get up and do 10 lunges, you're kind of like, I don't know.
I don't know about this one.
I'm not sold on this one. And but, it's the most baby shit in the world.
Mm-hmm. And they've now added it in. So like if an hour passes, somebody will be like, hey, you didn't do the lunges. They've added in the accountability buddy thing. Because
that's
people are
smart.
It's public so
shame
smart.
Public shame is probably what I'm missing in my workouts. I tried to do this. I tried to set up a over in COVID. I tried to stream Ring Fit.
I remember this. Yes.
And just say like, hey, what if every morning I got up at 8 and streamed Ring Fit before I went to work? And that was rough on two angles. If you're my boss, don't listen to this. I had to get up at 8, and then I had to stream myself at 8 a.m. playing a workout game.
Which, like, I can do early morning podcasts. Early morning streams is kind of another beast because you are a different person when you wake up.
That's the thing. No one's really no one's really watching Twitch at 8 a.m.
It's early.
It did just kind of tank my numbers for no real reason. Listen, getting up at 8 a.m. is like a part of working from home is that you're not accountable the moment you wake up.
Yeah.
You can kind of check your phone and say, like, are there any fires? If not, I can probably afford to take a shower before I quote unquote head into work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or go grab a coffee or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
But then when you're just like, well, I did my workout from 8 to 8:45. I'm not sleeping in and I don't have any excuses to not be at work right now. And that's untenable for me.
That's a specific kind of brain rot that I cannot follow. Because, like, I don't know, I've never worked from home. But I'm on the schedule to start working, to have work from home time in June.
Hey, hell yeah.
I don't know if I told you how silly this is that they're doing everybody individually. Every person gets one day to train at home, and I'm just at the very bottom of the list. So everyone else in the and there's got to be someone at the bottom. Like, I get it. But everyone else in the entire place gets their single day, and it's all the way till June. This started in March.
You're just going to watch your are you just watching your department diminish? It's just like slowly one more person gets to go home.
Turn to dust, turn to dust. It started happening.
maybe the last day they're gonna turn to you and be like, hey, we got a secret. This isn't actually what we're doing, but now we've cleared out the entire department, so enjoy your mega desk.
This is, yeah, you know, frankly, I'd love a mega desk. That sounds sick. I don't know how much we've talked about what time we both wake up. What is your normal wake up time?
I am not at liberty to discuss that. no, I in the summers, I wake up at, I have my alarm set for 9, which is the time that my workday starts. I'm usually up by 8 in the summer. Because the light comes through our window.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've talked about getting a blackout curtain.
Yeah.
But it's
helpful.
It's kind of nice. Is the main reason we haven't actually done it. So yeah, we haven't actually changed it or fixed anything, mm-hmm. which I'm actually pretty cool with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the summer, in the summer nowadays, it's April, but like spring, summer, as the sun comes up, is when I'm getting up, which is around 8.
Why are you separating out the seasons?
Because I have an affective disorder.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
No, I just it when in the winter I do a worse job of getting up.
That's fair. This is
but,
fair.
But, you know, I'm at work by like 9:30. In the winter, I need that alarm to go off and snooze once before I'm downstairs. In the summer, I'm like up at 8 and being like, great, I'm going to sit outside with a coffee.
That does sound great. I am a 6:30. I was a 6:30 to 7 a.m. riser. And recently I got a CPAP. And I can snap right up at 6 now. I don't snooze my alarm for 30 minutes. I've been like getting up. Yeah, you know, I go downstairs. I make my breakfast. I come upstairs. I edit at like 7 a.m. Sit from 7 to 8. Get out there. Drive to work. The idea of waking up at 9, even on weekends, I'm like 7 a.m. at the latest, baby. Whole day's ahead of me.
I will say part of it for me is that like you have a time that you have to be in an office. Like
that's fair. Yeah,
definitively. And to be clear, I do work in an office that does expect us to be like working during business hours, but I am a little bit, there's a little bit of kind of built in leeway, which is not exactly right. But like, I am like the majority of my team is on Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. So they're not getting up till fucking 10
noon my time is Jesus. Like noon my time is the standard 9 to 5, right? 3 hours before.
What is happening?
So there is a little bit of that where it's like there is individual standalone work that I can do in the mornings, but also my work in quality assurance is responding to work that developers do.
So you can do like a little bit of answering emails and then you're just like, all right, well.
So it's one of those things that like if people have turned work over to me, then I'm like, great, I've got a queue built up. I can start testing. But it does get into the like, if I find a problem in the first 5 minutes, I don't get to work on this for the next 3 hours because I have to wait for the person to get online and fix it. Right. and typically it means that like I don't get to work on this today because then they have to look at it and be like, OK, I'll spend 3 hours fixing this. It'll get back to you. And then it gets back to me and they're like, great, I sent it back to you by noon my time. And I'm like, cool, it's 5. Like, this is the end of my day.
It's time for me to leave.
So
goodbye.
There's a little bit of a weird, like, the opposite of overlap in schedules with people. So it is a little bit, but that being said, I am still like in the office before that and before meetings. So, it is, I don't know. Working from home is nice, 'cause I don't have to commute. I just, my commute is downstairs. I feed some fish. I go to work.
I'm very excited.
Go to work. I mean, I open bad screen and unplug good screen and plug my keyboard into the other computer.
I'm very excited to see what working from home at this desk looks like, because like I am going to route my like the calls I take through my soundboard. And imagine getting on the phone with a help representative and they have the nicest sound setup you've ever heard.
Could not imagine.
Every time you call somebody, it's just like they're at 100 meters going,
can I get your account number?
Yeah, honestly, if I ever called someone and they sounded like a podcaster, I'd be like, oh, this person's, well, frankly, I'd say, oh, this person's clearly calling me at a computer. This has got to be a scam.
This is a fucking scam.
There's no way this is the Chase credit card help desk. It's a guy named Chase who's going to steal my credit card.
Get out of here, you son of a bitch. Oh.
Now that I've thoroughly incriminated myself with my the next time, I don't know. I've now recorded a podcast that my boss can cite and be like, get out of here.
This is why you're fired.
But no, but the other, I will say to defend myself, the other half of that is that I often flex my hours into the evening because of the way that that works out. Mm-hmm, so it's like, you know, I work a 10 to 6, which is a, like, which is a what, 7 to 4 on the Pacific time, right? Which I feel like is like a pretty reasonable.
That's reasonable. That's normal. I know people who work 7 to 4s. I know two people in my office who do 7 to 4.
It's one of those things that's like a reasonable adjustment, but I do also feel like if I ever looked at my coworkers, was like, yeah, I'm usually in by 10. I work from home and they'd shoot me with a gun.
Bam, 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 bam. Down immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, before I can get you into any more trouble at work, do you have another podcast idea for me?
You know what? I do have a recurring segment for you. I want to try and tease a podcast idea out of you.
Okay.
Riley, I sent you an MP3 as we started this recording called 41024song.mp3. Can you identify that in Discord for me?
Yes, 41024.
I didn't want to give things away.
Yeah, I love how you frame this like it is like I am defusing a bomb. Like we're playing Keep Talking and nobody explodes. The green wire. Can you identify the green wire for me, please?
Yeah, now that you've identified the MP3, can I count down and we start the song together?
Well, how do I start it, Andrew? You didn't tell me what the play button looks like.
You're going to press the triangle. Do you see a triangle key?
I see the triangle. Thank you.
Yeah. Great. Okay. You're going to click that and then make sure your headphones don't blow your ears out, because I'm not sure how loud it's going to be through Discord.
I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
This. Oh, I know this song. I did it. I know this song.
Do you?
This rules. But ban-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an-an
country music?
No, Serious by the Alan Parsons Project sounds completely different.
Or just some sports thing.
That is like a stadium rock song. Hold on, sorry, this is going to kill me.
I don't think that this is whatever you think it is.
You might be right. Anyway, it does rule. It does. It sounds great. I love this.
What is this podcast?
This podcast, easy. This is the biggest slam dunk I've ever gotten in my life. Andrew, you know I love a bracket, but brackets for video games don't really work because you can't figure out specifically, like, we're the framework that we're talking about. Like, what are you nostalgic for? Like, it doesn't fucking matter. That kind of like working through a video game bracket's never going to work. I need a combat by I need trial by combat. And I need that to be in a video game ass coliseum. And so this right here, what you have shown me is the mm-hmm. opening to this video game deathmatch that is happening.
This is our what is a video game deathmatch? Are we assembling multiple people to compete in different games each week?
That rules. But what I was thinking is something much stupider and less hard to set up. I think we are doing I don't think it's champ style necessarily. I think there are two solid judges. It's you and me. We bring on a guest and we have 10. We have like 8 matchups. And we say, all right, Master Chief versus Samus. And we're like, this is the field today. This is where they're competing. This is the situation. Who actually wins this fight? All right.
How is this different from the bracket you said would suck?
This one's good.
Because I'm nostalgic for Master Chief, but you're nostalgic for Samus. So mm-hmm. I would say that Master Chief's got his battle rifle and he would shoot better than Samus.
And this is why I guess you're right. You couldn't do this one because you lack the clarity of vision. So you couldn't be in this one, Andrew, because you would give in to your biases. We would vet our guests for this kind of bias.
Okay, sure. No, you're right. We'll do an impartial, unemotional power scaling argument. Yeah, every eighth grader's dream. No. We'll need do to a power find, scaling, but we'll do it right.
We need to find a series of uncles who have not played video games but are willing to wing it. And we present them with the facts. We have two hosts. We have two hosts, and we have one guest judge. And what we do is you and I, you're like, here's why I think Master Chief should win. Here's his abilities. And I'm like, here's Samus. Here's everything that she brings to the table. And we let them talk it out. And they can ask clarifying questions, but we are not allowed to editorialize in that way. That is how you get the impartialness from this.
Yeah, when I want an impartial opinion, the first thing I think is let's ask an uncle if a woman can defeat a man in military combat. Listen, now that's going to be a great uncle chat, Riley.
Not every uncle sucks shit.
Yeah, no offense to my actual uncle that listens to this. You'd actually, honestly, Uncle John, welcome aboard. You actually make it to this panel.
We've got Uncle John. We have my Uncle Matt. The two of them, we present them with our findings. We present them with the data on the competitors, and they begin to make their way through the team deathmatch, the uncle deathmatch.
It's funny how, like, I feel like uncle is a family unit that is at two very different extremes when it comes to just, like, the imagination. It really depends on what tone you say the word, like, yeah, an uncle comes to town and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, is this like, because nine times out of 10 people tweeting are like, oh yeah, your uncle. And it's like, oh, the guy you don't want to get into a Trump conversation with at Christmas. Right.
I hear that. I've never had
also,
that
like, uncle. Cool uncle is also like, that's on the table. And that is a reasonable pop culture thing.
Mm-hmm. Uncles either suck shit or they can hang. And there's a little bit where, like, if you're an uncle that sucks shit. But for uncles that suck shit, like, to me, I'm like, oh, that's not an uncle. That's just like a weird family member. Like,
they that's get my mom's brother. He's not my uncle.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know this man. I ostensibly have a bunch of uncles in Montana and Colorado. That's not family to me.
At some point, it does become like the no true Scotsman argument of just like,
no true
just
because
you don't like them doesn't mean they're not an uncle, which is also like kind of the argument that most family uses to justify terrible things.
Exactly.
So I'm not going out on my limb to defend this, but like,
I'll tell you, the blood of the covenant is sicker than the water of the womb, Andrew. And I'll say I make a covenant with my uncles, and that's, hey, do you want to see how many of these beers we can smash?
Let's see how many beers we can smash
in the basement.
Once we do, let's talk about who's better, Master Chief versus Samus.
It is Thanksgiving. You and I are with our uncles. We are drinking. We turn on Zoom. We brief them, and they go. Naruto versus Luffy. Fight. So he's stretchy. You're saying he's stretchy? Like, yeah. Well, boy, what's the fight though? Like, how can he fight?
Oh boy, let me tell you. This is a song whose name I'm blanking on by the musicians Electronicos Fantasticos.
Love that.
They make music using invented instruments, including barcode scanners that they set to certain frequencies, a guitar made using a CRT Telecaster that they are using to hit different frequencies and wavelengths, an electronic fan harp.
So cool.
A barcode bass, a factory fan bass, strobing lights as a that turns into a drum line, things like that. Mm-hmm. They do cool shit. A vacuumonica, they call it, a hoova horn.
That fucking rules. By the way, it was Gold on the Ceiling by the Black Keys.
That's not what this is, so
I know it's not, but that's what I was thinking of. People will be like, I've solved people's podcast ghost syndrome.
Good work, Riley.
I'm leaving no lead unfollowed. This sounds great. Can you please send me the name of that band?
Yeah, we'll do. The other thing I want to hit you with, Riley, I got another podcast idea for you.
I'm ready.
This one comes in from Cello Buster that says, Outer Stishel, our hearts rent asunder. Riley is the creator of Interstitial, Our Hearts Entwined. What do you think of Outer Stishel, Our Hearts Rent Asunder?
Outer Stishel is the one that Friends at the Table would finally play. Because it would be about no crossovers allowed. Only this shit you come up with.
So like an interstitial only done by Friends of the Table's characters is just like, oh, what if Hadrian met up with,
you got it,
fake Beyonce?
You know what? I understand everyone you've just spoken about.
Yes. I've listened to four episodes of every season of Friends at the Table.
Just like, maybe this one's the one that's going to hit.
Maybe.
I love Friends at the Table. I truly do. They like a different kind of thing than I like. And I accepted that a long time ago. But people have approached me multiple times like, I think Friends at the Table should play this. And I'm like, they're not going to. They don't like crossovers. And so I think if I presented them the link system and the ways that interstitial exists and removed every word that said crossover, anything that said you can play Sonic the Hedgehog and took that out, I think that they'd be like, all right, let's try this out.
There is something to be said about pitching a no frills interstitial, like in the same way that the D20 system was created, right? Uh-huh. Where they're like, we're taking the 3.5 system and saying, like, what if we scraped all the edges off and said you can play other things using this system? Mm-hmm. There's something to be said about making the interstitial system.
Yeah,
even though it would kill your heart.
It would kill my heart. And also, like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, yeah. Yeah. If I just presented you with a cake with no frosting and all the sugar taken out of it. Yeah, dog. I hope you enjoy. What the fuck are we doing here?
We're making a season of Friends at the Table.
Shut up.
Hi-ho.